Our Father, which art in heaven.
Yes.
Don't interrupt me. I'm praying.
But you called me.
Called you? I didn't call you. I'm praying. Our Father, which art in heaven.
There, you did it again.
Did what?
Called me. You said, Our Father, which art in heaven. Here I am. What's on your mind?
But I didn't mean anything by it. I was, you know, just saying my prayers for the day. I always say the Lord's Prayer. Makes me feel good, kind of like getting a duty done.
All right, go on.
Hallowed be thy name.
Hold it. What do you mean by that?
By what?
Hallowed be thy name.
It means, good grief, I don't know what it means. How should I know? It's just a part of the prayer. By the way, what does it mean?
It means honored, holy, wonderful.
Hey, that makes sense. I never thought about what hallowed meant before. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Do you really mean that?
Sure. Why not?
What are you doing about it?
Doing? Nothing, I guess. I just think it would be kind of neat if you got control of everything down here, like you have up there.
Have I got control of you?
Well, I go to church.
That isn't what I asked you. What about your bad temper? You really got a problem there, you know. And then there's the way you spend your money, all on yourself. And what about the kind of books you read?
Stop picking on me. I'm just as good as some of the rest of those people at church.
Excuse me? I thought you were praying for my will to be done. If that is to happen, it will have to start with the ones who are praying for it, like you, for example.
Oh, all right. I guess I do have some hang-ups. Now that you mention it, I probably could name some others.
So could I.
I haven't thought about it very much until now, but I really would like to cut out some of those things. I would like to, you know, be really free.
Good. Now we're getting somewhere. We'll work together, you and I. Some victories can be truly won. I'm proud of you.
Look, Lord, I need to finish up here. This is taking a lot longer than it usually does. Give us this day our daily bread.
You need to cut out the bread. You're overweight as it is.
Hey, wait a minute. What is this, Criticize Me Day? Here I was doing my religious duty, and all of a sudden you break in and remind me of all my hang-ups.
Praying is a dangerous thing. You could wind up changed by it, you know. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. You called me, and here I am. Too late to stop now. Keep praying. I'm interested in the next part of your prayer. Well, go on.
I'm scared to.
Scared? Of what?
I know what you'll say.
Try me and see.
Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us.
What about Alice?
See? I knew it. I knew you would bring her up. Why, Lord, she's told lies about me, spread stories about my family. She never paid back the debt she owes me. I've sworn to get even with her.
What about your prayer?
I didn't mean it.
Well, at least you're honest. But it's not much fun carrying the load of bitterness around inside, is it?
No, but I'll feel better as soon as I get even. Boy, have I got some plans for that neighbor. She'll wish she never moved into this neighborhood.
You won't feel any better. You'll feel worse. Revenge isn't sweet. Think of how unhappy you already are. But I can change all that.
You can? How?
Forgive Alice. Then I'll forgive you. Then the hate and sin will be Alice's problem and not yours. You will have settled your heart.
Oh, you're right. You always are. And the more I want to revenge Alice, I want to be right with you. All right. I forgive her. Help her to find the right road in life, Lord. She's bound to be awfully miserable now that I think about it. Anyone who goes around doing the things she does to others has to be out of it. Some way, somehow, show her the right way. There, now.
Wonderful. How do you feel?
Well, not bad. Not bad at all. In fact, I feel pretty good. You know, I don't think I'll have to go to bed tonight uptight for the first time since I can remember. Maybe I won't be so tired from now on because I'm not getting enough rest.
You're not through with your prayer. Go on.
Oh, all right. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Good. Good, I'll do that. Just don't put yourself in a place where you'll be tempted. That's your part.
What do you mean by that?
Don't turn on the TV when you know the laundry needs to be done and the house needs to be picked up. Also, about the time you're spending coffeeing with your friends. If you can't influence the conversation to positive things, perhaps you should rethink the value of those friendships. Another thing, your neighbors and friends shouldn't be your standard for keeping up. And please don't use me as an escape hatch.
I don't understand the last part.
Sure you do. You've done it a lot of times. You get caught in a bad situation, you get into trouble, and then you come running to me. Lord, help me out of this mess. I promise you I'll never do it again. You remember some of those bargains you tried to make with me?
Yes, and I am ashamed, Lord. Really, I am.
Which bargains are you remembering?
Well, there was the night the cliff was gone and the children and I were home alone. The wind was blowing so hard I thought the roof would go off any minute, and the tornado warnings were out. I remember praying, "Oh, God, if you would spare us, I'll never skip my devotions again."
The tornado was 10 seconds away from landing on your roof when you called me. I protected you, but you didn't keep your promise, did you?
I'm sorry, Lord. Really, I am. Up until now, I thought if I just prayed the Lord's Prayer every day, then I could do what I liked. I didn't expect anything to happen like it did.
Go ahead. Finish your prayer.
For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Do you know what would bring me glory? You know what really would make me happy?
No, but I'd like to. I want to know how to please you. I can see what a mess I've made of my life, and I can see how great it would be to really be one of your followers.
You just answered the question.
I did?
Yes. The thing that would bring me glory is to have people like you truly love me, and I see that happening between us. Now that some of these old sins are exposed and out of the way, there's no limit to what we can do together.
Lord, let's see what we can make of me, okay?
Yes, let's see.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ today. We're glad that you have chosen to join us for this week's sermon of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. God's Word is full of timeless truths that are relevant to our lives today. Pastor John Twitchell invites you to explore these truths with us each week.
I want to thank Darlene and Brenda this morning for sharing that very humorous and at the same time very thought-provoking skit written by Andy Lund this morning. Certainly envisioning prayer as a conversation, not simply as a one-way monologue, but a conversation with God, helps us understand better how we ought to pray and helps us understand what the words that we pray actually mean. And yet, I would imagine that it probably, at one time or another, all of us have found ourselves praying like the person in the skit prayed, not expecting anything like this to actually happen. Now, I know that many of you spent time this week thinking about that sweet hour of prayer that we talked about last week. You spent time thinking about it. Maybe you even tried what an hour of prayer would look like in your life. Perhaps you were more conscious of the time that you had available to you and what you chose to do with that time. Perhaps you were more aware of the noise that clamored and banged around you. And maybe you even tried an uninterrupted hour of prayer, but you quickly ran out of things to say to God. And don't feel bad. If your heart longed for that hour of prayer, you set aside time for that hour of prayer, and then as you started, you simply realized, maybe for the first time in your life, you realized, I don't actually know how to pray. Perhaps your prayers up until now have consisted of saying grace before you eat, or a quick, now I lay me down to sleep at the end of the day. Maybe the most time you spend praying is on Sunday mornings when we gather around these altars and pray together as a body. Well, I want to tell you that if you feel like that, that you're not even quite sure how to pray, or if you've ever felt like that, you're in good company. For even the disciples came to Jesus one day, unsure of how they ought to pray. I want to invite you to hear our gospel lesson this morning, found in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Luke 11, verses 1 through 13. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. When Jesus' disciples ask him to teach them to pray, he teaches them a prayer that we have come to call the Lord's Prayer. Now, if you listened carefully while I was reading, you probably noticed that the version of the Lord's Prayer recorded by Luke is somewhat different than the prayer that we pray each week. That prayer is based on Matthew's account, found in Matthew chapter 6. Now, the differences between Luke 11 and Matthew chapter 6, maybe they're caused by transcription errors. Scribes and copyists made changes as they copied the scriptures to pass them down. They may be caused by differences in how the original gospel writers remembered and wrote the events that took place. And another equally good possibility is that Jesus actually gave 2 slightly different prayers, one during the Sermon on the Mount, as recorded in Matthew, and another in Luke, when his disciples asked him to teach them how to pray. It was estimated that on Easter Sunday, 2007, this past Easter, that there were 2 billion with a B, Protestants, Eastern Orthodox, and Catholic believers that either prayed, read, recited, or sang some form or translation of this prayer. 2 billion. Despite many doctrinal and theological differences, the Lord's Prayer is one way that people who call themselves Christians can be united together in prayer as they seek God's kingdom. You see, regardless of the variations between Matthew's and Luke's accounts of the prayer, the various translations and versions used by different denominations and traditions around the world, it's pretty clear that the commonalities far outweigh the differences. But even more than that, it's pretty clear to me that Jesus had some pretty specific ideas on how we ought to pray. Now, when I say that, don't misinterpret me, misunderstand me, and think that Jesus cares specifically about what words we use. I don't think Jesus is saying every time we pray we have to use these words exactly. In fact, there are many prayers recorded throughout the Gospels and the Epistles, and not once do we actually have an account of anyone praying using these specific words. And yet, Jesus is pretty clear on the structure and the content of what our prayer should be. And so this prayer becomes a tool that we can use to plan our own prayers. Wait a minute, Pastor. Did you just say, plan our own prayers? You don't really mean we should plan out our prayers, do you? We just come to God and say what's on our heart, right? Well, yes. And yes. Certainly God wants to know what's on your heart, and I think God hears our spontaneous in the midst of it prayer that is just heartfelt and comes from where we are. And I don't think you need a special vocabulary to bring your prayers to God. And neither am I suggesting that you type out your prayers and then read them to God at the end of the day. At the same time, consider this for just a moment. We rarely, if ever, approach anyone else of importance with the same sort of spontaneity and sometimes glibness that we approach our Father in heaven when we pray. Very few conversations of great importance simply spontaneously erupt in our lives, whether it be a conversation with a spouse, a boss, a neighbor, or someone in authority. Those conversations require planning and preparation. We think about what we're going to say, what we want to accomplish in that conversation. We think of the words we're going to use to carefully communicate what it is that's on our heart. And yet, how often do we think about and prepare for our time with God? More often than not, our prayers are simply a sequence of words thrown together, images rushing through our brain in random fashion, or a wish list of things that we hope God will do for us. And I'd like to suggest that rarely do Christians take time to carefully consider what they pray for. And yet, twice in the Gospels, Jesus gives a model for prayer, a structure, and some content. Some specific things that we ought to recognize when we pray, and some specific things we ought to ask for. And before we even consider offering up our laundry list of requests, we ought to be sure that we have already prayed for the things that Jesus asked us to pray for, whether we use his words or our own. I want to issue a challenge to you this week. If you tried a sweet hour of prayer last week, here's your new challenge for this week. This challenge is maybe a little less time-consuming for you. The challenge would be that you would take time each day, morning and evening, just this week, to pray through the Lord's Prayer line by line. I don't mean a simple recitation of the prayer and get it and be done with it, but taking a moment over each phrase or each line in the prayer and thinking about what it means and what it means in your life. It might take you 5 minutes. It might take you 50. But take the prayer and carefully consider each word or line that you find. Do this in the morning and do this in the evening before you give any other prayer requests or praises. And I think if you accept this challenge that your prayers and your prayer life will be changed in ways that you've never imagined. In the remainder of our brief time together, I want to simply break down parts of the Lord's Prayer and give you an example of how this might work in your prayer life, to consider the ways that Jesus would have us to pray. And for the sake of simplicity for us this morning, I will use a translation that we use each week in worship, the translation that's based on Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. Our Father. Our Father. Whose Father? Ours. You are part of the body of Christ. You are not just an individual relating to your Father, but you are part of the body of Christ stretched throughout time and space. He is our Father. And as you pray, remember that you are part of the community of faith. Let your prayers reflect not just your interests, but let them reflect the greater good, the interests of others, putting your individual desires and burdens aside in favor of those in the community. Our Father. Our Father. God is personal. He's not just a powerful force in the sky. Neither is he a vending machine into which you insert your coins and hope for an answer to your prayers. He is an intensely personal being who desires to be in relationship with you. As you pray, remember your relationship with the Father. Take time to hear his voice. Take time to sense his presence. Our Father, who art in heaven. Where is our Father? He's in heaven. This reminds me of a couple of things. It reminds me of his sovereignty. He is truly able to answer our prayers. If he were our Father on earth, he wouldn't be able to answer our prayers. We wouldn't pray to our Father on earth. He is sovereign. Do not pray with doubt, but pray believing that our Father has the power to answer your prayer. He's in heaven, and that reminds me of something else too, though. That since he's in heaven, his perspective is different from mine. His ways are higher than my ways. He can see the cause and the effect of your prayers much better than you can. And so as you pray, submit yourself to his sovereignty and submit yourself to his eternal perspective. Hallowed be thy name. We were reminded by the skit that that word means honored, holy, or wonderful. We are recognizing the holiness of God, but the prayer is an imperative. We're saying to God, sanctify your name, make your name holy. And one scholar asked, why would we pray that of God? Why would God need to sanctify his name? Isn't it already holy? Why would we pray that God's name would be made holy? Perhaps it is because we have profaned his name. Perhaps it is because we have done things in his name that have not brought honor and glory to it. You see, this phrase is not only a reminder of God's holiness, but a reminder of the fact that we have done things, either as individuals or as the church, have done things in his name that have not brought honor to him. Have you done anything that is unbecoming of a Christ follower? When you pray, be sure to confess that. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. I notice something here. Jesus doesn't teach us to pray in such a way that we're waiting for the kingdom to come in some future end of the world sense. Jesus asks us to pray for his kingdom come, his will to be done on earth, in the right here and the right now. The kingdom of God, Christianity, is not simply about attaining an afterlife. It's not just about Jesus coming in the last days and setting everything right. The kingdom of God is about how we live today. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And as you pray, ask God what you might do today to help his will be done on earth. How might you help his kingdom to come? Give us this day our daily bread. Like the Israelites in the wilderness feasting on their daily manna, this part of the prayer reminds me to pray for my needs, to trust that God will supply my needs for today. Jesus doesn't say, pray for this week's bread, pray for this month's bread, pray for our daily bread. We need not worry about tomorrow, for each day will have enough trouble of its own. And this prayer for me helps me discern my needs from my wishes. And I also remember when I get here, I started by praying our Father, recognizing that I'm part of a body of Christ stretched throughout the world, and my needs may not be what I think they are. When I remember that I'm part of a larger community, and that 1.2 billion other people live on less than $1 a day. 1.2 billion people live on less than $1 a day. Give us this day our daily bread. That fact puts our needs, wants, and wishes all in great perspective. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We are to be forgiven people who forgive others. How is it that we expect God to forgive our huge debts if we're unwilling to forgive the small debts of our neighbors? If you have been swept up and washed away in the goodness of God's grace, how much more ought you to give that grace to others? As you pray, consider not only how you are in need of God's forgiveness, but consider the freedom you will experience when you forgive others. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Recognize that you are unable on your own to resist evil. You are unable on your own to resist evil. Without God's grace and power of the Holy Spirit, you will not be able to break that addicting habit. You will not be able to resist the temptation that attracts you. So take time as you pray to consider the ways in which you are tempted, to ask God for specific victory in these areas. But don't do this half-heartedly, for he is your Father who art in heaven, and he really can answer your prayer. Come to God with the conviction that you need to be free from sin. Come prepared to walk away from evil. Come prepared to keep yourself out of temptation's way. Ask God to remove your desire to sin and to replace it with the desire to be free to live your life to his greater glory. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As you conclude your prayer, recognize again who God is. Recognize who you are in relation to him. Give thanks for his answers to your prayer. Give thanks for transforming you as you sought his will to be done in your life and around the world. Praise him for who he is, for what he has done, is doing, and is going to do. As we begin to base our prayers on the Lord's Prayer, there is room for personal requests and intercessions, but there is so much more room for personal confession and for asking God what he would have you do each and every day. As I look at the Lord's Prayer, I realize that prayer is less and less about asking God to do what I want him to do. It is much more about me asking God what he wants me to do. As we conclude our service today, I want to remind you of the challenge that I issued earlier. A challenge that you would take time each day this week to do, in essence, the sort of prayer that I just illustrated for you. Morning and evening, to pray through the Lord's Prayer. Don't pray it as a simple recitation of words, but break it down and concentrate on each word, each line, and allow your prayer to flow from the structure and content that Jesus taught us to pray. As you spend time with God, my prayer is that our lives would be transformed because of the time we spend with him. That our prayer would, like the prayer illustrated by Darlene and Brenda, be a conversation with our Father who art in heaven.
To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. If you have any questions or would like to learn more about how Jesus can make a difference in your life, please email Pastor John at pastorjohn@capenazarene.org. May God richly bless you as you serve him today.